Somebody says, I was told yesterday, well, why don't you get a backup hard drive? It's too late. I already lost it. So I keep thinking this computer that I got about 10 years ago would last me the rest of my life. I hate to buy another computer. It's like a car. I hate to buy another car. I hope this one lasts me the rest of my life. Seems like a waste of money. We'll make it. John chapter 14, we look at verses 1 through 6. I memorized this in King James Version, so I jump back and forth as I read it. It seems like King James Version I like better for this particular passage. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Our Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us, speak to me, speak to my heart through these words to each of us, Lord, that we would be molded, that we'd be encouraged, we'd be given hope, we'd be lifted up, that, Lord, you be glorified. Let your word speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. He starts out those very first words, do not let your heart be troubled. Why did they have troubled hearts? I think that's a good point to look at. And I want to, in chapter 14, if your Bible's open, the very last verse in chapter 14, verse 31, the last part of that verse, Jesus is speaking. And Jesus says, get up, let us go from here. That gives us a where we are, the setting, the scene. They are at the Last Supper. They're in the upper room. And this is the last of what Jesus tells them while they're in that upper room. And he says, let us get up and go forth from here. Well, I want to back up a little bit to chapter 13, because chapter 13 gives us more of a setting. This is all at the Lord's Supper table. And it's appropriate for Communion Sunday that we look at some of this. But I want to pick up there and towards the last part of that in verse 31. But just before that, Judas went out. And it's interesting that the other 11 didn't really fully begin to understand what Judas was going to do. But Judas went out to betray Jesus, and they didn't understand that. In verse 30, it says, receiving the morsel from Jesus, Judas went out immediately, and it was night. And I think that's important for us to understand, too. It was nighttime when this took place. Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. This is the glorification, that from this point, when they leave and go out there at the end of chapter 14, Jesus will instruct his disciples on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will be betrayed. All of chapter 15, all of chapter 16 is Jesus' instruction to his disciples before he's betrayed. Chapter 17 is Jesus' prayer. And Jesus' prayer is, that, Lord, that they would be one, just as you and I, Father, are one. And then in chapter 18 is his betrayal. So here is why they're troubled, is because he is going to be glorified. And he explains to them, If God is glorified in him, the Son, then God will also glorify him, the Son, in himself, and will glorify him immediately. This is going to take place immediately. Now we look at it, that seems like a long reading from here all the way through to where he is betrayed in chapter 18. But it takes place very quickly on this walk to the Garden of Gethsemane. He instructs his disciples, verse 33 in chapter 13. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. My time is almost up. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, and now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Can you begin to picture what's going through the 11 disciples' minds? He's going someplace where we can't come? We've been with him and following him all this way, and he's been with us, and we're going to stay with us. He gives, in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That is a commandment for all Christians. Boy, if this could take place with all Christians and all churches and all Christian families, that we have the love for one another. And verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We've worked with disaster relief crews over the last 15 years, and this is one of our verses that we always work together, that they will, the homeowner where we're working in a disaster will know that we are Christians by the way we get along with one another as we work. And what a wonderful thing that people can say, something's different about these people. They're not arguing and fighting, but they are, and this is the way Christians should be in church. Peter, Simon Peter said to him, well, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, he says, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. But right now, in this separation, you see where the hearts are troubled now when we start in verse chapter 14? Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I'll lay down my life for you. And we know this one. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. And listen, that is going to happen that night. Remember, Judas went out at night. Less than 12 hours later, this will happen. So we get to chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Their hearts are troubled. What is going on? He's going someplace, and we don't know where. And it looks like he's going to his death, and they've watched him. Well, he goes on to say in chapter 14, verse 1, believe in God. King James says, and there's a note in the New American Standard that says the same thing. It says, you believe in God. You see, they're all Jews, and they all believe in God. They believe in God, and folks seem to believe in God all over, and I guess we could say the same thing to us today. We believe in God, but let not your hearts be troubled because you believe. But if you believe in God, Jesus said, then believe also in me. And he'll go on to say, and we're not going to go down there, but in verses 7 through 17, that he'll point out to Philip that he and the Father are one. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the three in one. They appear in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when it says, in the beginning, God, Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created the heavens and the earth. All three were in the beginning. Jesus becomes the incarnate God. He becomes God in the flesh. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And that's kind of interesting. I like King James Version because King James says there are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. I like mansions. When you go to the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation says that the streets are paved with gold. And I always say that, look, we've got an asphalt paved driveway out here that's black dirt, you know, coal oil. And we get there, we're going to have a driveway of pure gold. Isn't that something? Gold will be so plentiful that it just, we use it for paving material. My, God owns it all. So I think, I kind of like that. I think the NIV says there are many rooms. And of course, the New American Standard says many dwelling places. And I think it's as many, I don't like the sound of a room. Sounds like a little cubby hole someplace, but I think it's going to be a mansion. I think it's going to be glorious. It's going to be enormous. It'll be beautiful. And Jesus goes on to say that if it were not so, I would have told you. So he's telling us that it is so. And he says, for I go to prepare a place for you. And I like that because, you know what? He has gone to prepare a place for me and you. He has prepared that place, and he had to go to do that. I don't know what preparation the place took or what Jesus had to do, but it's ready for us. Whenever we're ready to go. Then he starts out in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, if I go, well, what would happen if he doesn't go? If he didn't go, then the place would not be prepared, and this was not going to happen, and we wouldn't have an eternity and a heaven to look forward to. But he had to go to complete the Father's will. And he said, so if I go and prepare a place for you, and he has this promise. He said, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, that there you may be also. And this is yet to happen, but he's going to come again. And either we're going to die in this life, or he's going to come again, and we're going to go. Anyway, he's going to come for his people, and he's going to bring them to himself, to that place that he's gone to prepare for us. And then he goes on to say, verse 4, and you know the way where I am going. And that's pretty good, because you know what? We know the way. The way has been revealed to us. It's right in front of us, is to follow Jesus. That is the way. And Jesus said, you know the way where I'm going. All you got to do is follow me. But Thomas said to him, remember doubting Thomas, Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Well, we got, I don't know, am I feeding off something? Might cut it down a little, Mike. That's a good question. Do we not know where you're going? How do we know the way? That's a simple thing. And we got a whole world full of people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have no idea where they're going. They're going where they think it's the best place or the best way. But Jesus answers to him, and this is the verse 6. This is a good memory verse for us. Jesus said to him, I am the way. You don't have to worry about where you're going. If you follow me, my way, it's the best way. And you're all settled. He said, I'm the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And then that last thing down there, no one comes to the Father but through me. King James says, no one comes to the Father but by me. Only through Jesus Christ is access. Well, the question today is there another way? A way besides Jesus? And there's a whole bunch of stuff out there where people are saying, oh, this is the way. And they get us heading off the wrong way. I don't know about you, but I've made the wrong turn a lot of times. And it's been the wrong way. My GPS, when I leave the house, the GPS directs me down a back road by my house. It's a class 6 road. I happen to know that there is a bridge down on that road that got washed out years ago. I used to be able to drive the truck all the way down, but the road's, it's gone. You can't go through there. But my GPS says I can go. Now, if I got way down, I mean, it's like 3 miles down there where that bridge is, and I got all, and there's no place to turn around. I've walked down there and walked through it recently, but I know that there is no way that I'm going to turn the truck around. I'm going to have to back all the way back out. Misleading. How many times have we gone the wrong way? How many times have we gotten lost? I remember one time when I was a teenager, I was raised down in the Portsmouth area in Greenland. And one of my favorite things during high school was to go ice fishing on Great Bay. Great Bay is salt water, and it freezes. And I had a fishing shanty, which was pretty nice, good-sized house. And it dragged that thing all the way. I look at now the numbers of time, hours I spent dragging a house and ice fishing gears out across the ice. I loved to go out there. It was great. There's always open water out there. Year-round is open water. It never fully freezes over. But it was out there, and we probably had 6-8 inches of ice. It was, well, and while I was fishing, we fished the tide, tide in and out. When the tide's out, you can't fish. You sit down on the mud. So I fished through the tide, and I needed to get back in, back home. It was night, and it was raining. I come out, I stepped out of that house, and it was a sheer fog. You couldn't see 10 feet in front of you. I had a gas lantern. So I said, well, the house is oriented this way. If I walk this way, I'll go to shore. And there was another group of houses that I would see that's not too far away, a couple hundred feet. I should be able to see those houses, and I get oriented, I'll continue on. So I started walking with my lantern, and I got an ice chisel, and I walk, and pretty soon I see this house glowing. I says, ah, there's the next group. It was my own house. I had walked this complete circle all the way around like that and came back. Now, usually down in Portsmouth, there's a foghorn on the harbor, and you can hear that foghorn. I couldn't hear the foghorn because it was raining, and the rain hitting the ice was making a noise. It was almost like ice cubes falling. And I'll tell you what, I was about as lost could be. How am I going to get out of here? Well, the 17, 18-year-old brain figured out a way. I did make it. And what I did is I took my ice chisel and I'd chop up a chunk of ice and then go a little further and chop one. And I'd get them in a row so I could see them. So I followed that row. And sure enough, I didn't end up exactly where I thought, but at least I did get ashore. I can't believe how far I walked. It was like 3 miles to get back to the house. I did that so many times, and now going the wrong way. Well, the wrong way, that will lead us astray, and that's up to the devil. The devil wants us to go the wrong way. Devil's fighting for victory. And the wrong way is always some man-made object that gets in the way, that distracts us. Proverbs 14:12, and it's also repeated in Proverbs 16:25, exactly the same words, says that there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. The way seems right to man. And how many times, and that is so deeply implanted in our minds that we have got it figured out how to do it. This is the right way, and we turn around and lose it. I got too many examples of that. The Old Testament, I marveled at. We did a study of Isaiah last year, and I marveled all the way through Isaiah that the people kept drifting back to worshiping idols. And we recently did a Bible study on Ezra and Nehemiah, and they had the same thing. They still had these idols. I can't imagine. Isaiah says that you take a piece of wood, a log, and you cut it in two, and one piece you make the statue, a god, and this other piece you cook your dinner on. The same log. But you worship this thing over here, thinking this God's going to help you. All the way through from Genesis, all the way have been other idols, man-made idols that jump up, which is, and God jumped up and down on the people. It's the wrong way. Jesus said, I am the way. Well, the way today is self-sufficiency. And we've got self-sufficiency in America like no place else. Education. I just get more education. I get more degrees. I can get a bachelor's. I can get a master's. I can get a PhD's. I can get multiple PhD's. And that's my hope. That's the way. That's the way. And it's interesting that we have a new emphasis now that we need a people that can pick up a hammer and a nail and drive it and don't need a college education to do that. And we've become so we have to go to college. Everybody should get free college. We'll send everybody to college. We're all uniquely designed to do different things. It's amazing. Everybody is different. My youngest son is a math whiz. I mean, he knows algebra, calculus. He's been a high school teacher for it. He's now an IT person, computer administrator, but doing this stuff. I can't add two and two. The only mistakes I make in the checkbook is in the $100 column. I don't make mistakes with the pennies and stuff. I can't add, can't count. Where did he get that? Just because I do something doesn't mean my kids are going to. They are all uniquely, if we can understand that about our children, each one is unique. And I marvel at Rachel had Down syndrome son, Jeffrey. Jeffrey was the sweetest guy you'd ever want to know. And he died in 2013 at age 51. He loved the Lord. He loved coming to church. He loved to sing. And he was such a sweetheart. We have dealt with some of the folks that people don't want or cast out can be the sweetest people in our lives and add so much to our lives. We hear more and more about an autistic person or a person that can't do certain things or physically impaired. I have a 13-year-old grandson in Connecticut. Mitchell has always walked on his toes. And I thought that's really interesting. Now he will be 14 in about 2 weeks. As a teenager now, as he walks on his toes, the other kids now. He's a good Christian guy. He loves the Lord. His mother's taking him into the doctor tomorrow in Connecticut. They've been through many sessions to find out what the problem is. But they're going to stretch the tendons in the upper parts of the leg so his feet will go down and go flat. And he's pretty excited about this being able to happen. But every person is unique in a way. And God provides for it. And sometimes, though, we can take and try to be something that God doesn't want us to be. And we try to find other ways. And Jesus said all the time, I am the way. And his way is right. He said, I'm not only the way, he's the truth. The only one. The scripture says that he was without deceit. There was not a lie in him. Everything he spoke was the absolute truth. Well, we can invest. If I make money, if I just get plenty of money, everything will be all right. If I win the lottery, that'll do it. That's the way, right? That's the way to go. All my friends are having fun, so that's the way to go. I'll go with my buddies and go. All sorts of things can come in. We're in a used to be the Boston Marathon and the New York Marathon, and now there are marathons. There was two marathons on Thanksgiving Day here in New Hampshire, in Manchester. There is these fitness, all kinds of gymnasiums and stuff to go work out. I can just get my body fit. And then I can rely on food too. That's the way to go. I'll control my diet. Rachel had a brother, Matthew, who has since gone home to be with the Lord. And Matthew, he was a health nut. You make a big bowl of salad and pass it around the table. Well, Matt would just as soon take the whole bowl and eat it. He ate carrot juice. He had an extractor. He'd put carrots by the bushel, grind those. He lived over in Claremont. We went over there and he showed us. Big bags of carrots and lived on it. And he had so much, his skin turned orange. All this, and he was going to be able to have a long life because eating so healthy. He died of colon cancer. Vegetables and fiber are supposed to prevent that. And we talked to him. He was in the VA hospital over, this is 20 years ago now, in White River Junction, Vermont. And he said, I was wrong. That's the wrong way on that. But he knew the Lord Jesus. But in the same time, we can know the Lord Jesus, but do we follow him? He said, I am the way. Not only the way, but the truth. He said, I won't speak a lie to you. And he said, he is the life. He is the life. He gives us the life when we can't get going. He picks us up and carries us on when we don't think we can make another step. He holds us up and he'll bring us through. We try to be self-sufficient. I'll wait till grandma dies and I'll get an inheritance. That'll be the way. No, God says, go on, follow me, Jesus said. Well, that's all about the wrong way. Let's talk about the right way. The right way is Jesus. He said, you know the way. We know the way. It's right here. The way is here. It's Jesus. And it tells us all about it. But all human beings, our nature, we cannot have a perfect day. That is our nature. We've been doing on Tuesday nights the study of in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I don't know what I'm doing, Mike. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The last three verses is interesting. Verse 14, but a natural man, the natural, that's us. In our natural being, because of Adam's sin, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. The natural person does not readily accept the spiritual things. When Jesus said, I am the way to go, and man is offered all these other ways, the natural man will pick the things like getting more education, getting more money, getting a better job and all that, and depend on his way. See, I always say, Rachel and I have been married 33 years. That's the second marriage for both of us. But I remember when I was younger days, my first marriage, I thought, if I got married, that would be a pretty good thing, huh? That would solve my problems. Little did I know, I gained a second set of problems. Well, we'll have a child, and that'll take care of our problems. Whoops, I now have three sets of problems. I only had one when I started, now I got three. It can grow like that. As a teenager, I needed to get my driver's license. That was the answer to my problems, except I had nothing to drive. And what I got to drive was, my first car was a 36 Plymouth, four-door, and I paid $25 for it. End of my problems, right? Yeah. Our resolution, the natural man, the solution to our problems brings problems. That's what we don't realize. The natural man, that foolishness, the things of God to him. We are natural wrongdoers. We naturally choose the wrong way to resolve our problems. And Jesus, all the time, there's an old song that says, he was there all the time, waiting patiently for me. Jesus is there. The natural man will not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they're spiritual appraised. But he who is spiritually spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. And verse 16, for who knows the mind of the Lord that he will instruct God? We can't. We offer God some suggestions. When you go to God in prayer, how many times do you say, well, you know, Lord, if you do this, you got it all worked out. But God has a much better way. And that's Jesus. He's the way, remember? The truth and the light. But look, when you have Christ, look at that. The last part of that verse stuns me. I read it every time. I said, but we have the mind of Christ. That's a wow. We have the mind of Christ. When you receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, you got him. He dwells in your heart. He's your heartthrob. And we've got the mind that has the ability to think like Christ. When somebody does something wrong to me, when somebody cuts me off in traffic, what's my reaction? Get even, right? When somebody does something wrong. But Jesus says, no. Forgive them and go on. That's hard, isn't it? For the natural person, that is foolishness. But Jesus says, I am the way. And his way is the best way. How many times have you seen it? What will a smile do? You can go into a crowd that's having a bad arguing time, but just a showing someone that you care and a smile goes a long ways. Boy, if husbands and wives could have that kind of relationship, it'd go that way. Well, we see the wrong way and we see the right way, and I want to look at the only way. The only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. He is the only way. The only one. No one else is qualified. No one else is qualified. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 27 says that, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He takes away my wrongdoing, my inability to do things right. He takes it away. I want to turn two passages. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, 1 Peter is just before Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. He's speaking of Jesus. Remember, this is Peter who denied Christ three times. He's speaking in verse 22. Who is Jesus? Committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. There was nothing wrong. Jesus never said anything wrong. He was completely without sin, and he is the only human being ever to be without sin. And folks are engaged with worship of gurus, of other religions that are man-made, and whoever they are, as a human being, they had sin. They were the natural man, the natural person. That these things of God was foolishness to them. They twisted around, but Jesus had no sin. He was without deceit. In verse 23, 1 Peter 2, 23, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. Remember, he was on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. If somebody throws a rock at us, we want to throw a rock back at them. Jesus could have done anything at that point. On the cross. He could have jumped off that cross. He could have gone over and said, you know, smacked them all down, called fire from heaven. He didn't. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For his wounds, by his wounds, you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Jesus is the only way. He is the only one qualified. Well, while we're in the back end of the Bible, I want to turn to 1 John chapter 3. And this kind of sounds, only two more books away here. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God. Wow. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. Listen to this. This is good here. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. We're going to be like him. He is pure. No sin will enter into heaven, none whatsoever. And this life has to take place that we need to accept Jesus Christ as the way, the only way, the truth and the life. And in that case, we'll be brought into his presence. He's gone to prepare a place for us. And he said, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that there you may be also. What a message of hope. Very simple, laid out before us. I am the way. That's what Jesus said. We conclude, and Mike, and we'll close with prayer.